Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Did you know that Massachusetts has one of the highest minimum wages in the country? Well, as a week ago Sunday, the state's minimum wage was $15 an hour. Or I should say, it is $15 an hour, and that's more than double the federal minimum wage. But it's actually enough to live in Massachusetts? That is the question. So we take a look at a gap, the gap, between a minimum wage and a living wage in this week's From the Newsroom. And to do that with us, WBUR's Walter Wuthman, who's been reporting on this increase in the minimum wage, and Evan Horowitz, who's executive director at the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts. Walt, welcome back.
Thank you.
Evan, welcome back to you, too.
Always great to be here, TCI.
Happy New Year's to both of you.
And to you.
So we're going to do a bit of a lightning round here. First one who's got it, say it. What is the current federal minimum wage?
$7.25. No, I'm just, that one, that was a gimme. Sorry, yeah. Walt.
Walt, how many states are higher than that?
It's 30 states and Washington, D.C.
30 states and Washington, D.C. have a minimum wage higher than Evan's $7.25 an hour at the federal level. Okay. How many states are lower than the federal minimum wage?
There's only one.
This is a trick question. No, you go, Walt.
Well, let's hear Evan's answer, but I have one, Wyoming, $5.15 an hour.
And why is it a trick question?
Because you can't have a minimum wage lower than the federal level. The federal level trumps. So even if you have a state statute that says it's $5, it's actually $7.25.
So that would have been my next question. Thank you for clearing that up. How many states have a higher minimum wage than $15 an hour than Massachusetts?
Washington State, $15.74, Washington, D.C., $16.10, and California, $15.50, and now Massachusetts with $15.
Okay, and Evan, do we know what the living wage for one person in Massachusetts with zero children would roughly be?
Roughly. Rough living wage, somewhere between $20 and $25 an hour. How, am I close?
Yeah, that's right. So there's MIT has a living wage calculator. You know, they plug all these things into their algorithm, like cost of transportation, rent, groceries. They estimate a living wage for one person in Massachusetts with no dependents to be $21.88 an hour.
So $6.88 more than the current minimum wage.
Than the current minimum wage.
And can I just say, like, yeah, for people listening, you know, sometimes it's helpful people think in terms of wages and also in terms of salaries. And like the sort of quick trick in your head is if it's a full-time worker, double the number and add some zeros. So if it's a $21, double that, 42, add some zeros, that's $42,000 a year for full-time. So any minimum wage, you double it, and that's in thousands, that's your annual salary.
And so following,
because some people think that way, right?
Right, right. So following that trick, Evan Horowitz, $30,000 a year is what somebody who's working full-time on the current Massachusetts minimum wage is earning in a year.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so just to summarize all of that, Massachusetts has one of the highest minimum wages in the country now. It's more than double the federal minimum wage. There are 30 states plus Washington, D.C. who have something higher than the federal minimum wage. But among those, Massachusetts remains the highest, and yet it is nowhere near what we would constitute as a living wage here in the Commonwealth. Is all of that fair?
Yeah, correct.
I'm not going to disagree with that. That sounds right. I will say, though, it's not just the minimum wage, right? Wages in general are pretty high in Massachusetts. We have high average wages. We have high wages at the very top of the income ladder, right? Our whole wage structure has kind of shifted up compared to other states. We're a really, really wealthy state.
So with all of that in mind, Walt, you go to write a story that says, wait a minute, 15 is high, but not where we need to be. Where did that story come from for you?
Right. So the $15 minimum wage that went into effect January 1st, it comes from this Fight for 15, which was a movement that started about a decade ago when hundreds of fast food employees walked off the job in New York. And it was kind of a great organizing structure, you know, to fight for a $15 minimum wage. Massachusetts was one of the first states to legislate a path toward a $15 minimum wage back in 2018 with this grand bargain with Republican Governor Charlie Baker, where it was going to be incrementally raised over 5 years. We are now at $15 in 2023, but those advocates will tell you that the power of that $15 that they were imagining back in 2018, you know, because of inflation, because of the high cost of living in Massachusetts, it's not quite what they imagined it to be.
Can I put kind of fine point on that? Because it's not at all what it was imagined to be. I'm not going to try to blow anybody's mind, but the minimum wage went down this year. Going from $14.25 to $15, as it just did, is not enough to keep up with inflation. The real power of the minimum wage dropped on January 1st. It did not go up.
The actual minimum wage didn't go down. It actually went up.
Well, the nominal
minimum
wage.
The power of the dollar.
But that's what matters,
down.
Right? Like, right. That's, nobody cares about a dollar because it has a one on it. You care about a dollar because of what you can buy with that dollar. And the truth of the matter is, you can buy less with your $15 minimum wage check this year than you could buy with your $14.25 minimum wage check last year. It's less
by how much?
By about 3%. But the minimum wage went up about 5%, and inflation has been running kind of 7-8%. So, yeah, that's a cut. The minimum wage went down this year. Now, this doesn't hold for the whole period. You know, since the grand bargain, the minimum wage really has gone up, even adjusting for inflation. But in the last year, inflationary pressures have outstripped wage growth, even for the minimum wage.
And so, yeah, just to add on to that, the advocates who fought for this grand bargain are really recognizing that. I spoke to Phineas Baxendall, who I'm sure you know.
Sure.
Evan. He's the policy director. Hey, Phineas. Yeah, he's the policy director for the Mass Budget and Policy Center. And here's what he had to say about the minimum wage increase January 1st.
That's a 5% increase over the 2022 minimum. And inflation's been running higher than that, which means that the minimum wage doesn't fully make up for the loss in buying power that happened from inflation.
So just to reiterate Evan's point, yes, the minimum wage has gone up, but in real terms, it hasn't.
All right. So I want to back up for a second because I am fascinated by this idea, Evan and Walt, and we have Evan Horowitz of the Center for State Policy Analysis, Walter Wuthman, reporter here at WBUR. We're looking at the gap between the new minimum wage in Massachusetts, which is $15 an hour, and what it takes to have a living wage in Massachusetts, which is more than $15 an hour. This grand bargain, Evan, we go back. It's 2018. The state says, okay, we'll do this, but we'll do it a little bit at a time. One assumes that that was done in steps in order to create not so much impact on employers and small businesses. Is that right?
Yeah, that was a big part of it. Let's do this gradually. Let's see if there are any negative consequences. But we knew at the time that inflation was going to cut into it. You know, the slower you do it, the more time there is for inflation to get to it. But yeah, that was the idea. Gradual implementation is easier to oversee and manage and easier for businesses.
Okay, so two follow-up questions to that. First, I'm imagining, and I have a pen here in my hand with kind of a flat angle on it, that we thought inflation was going to kind of look like this over the 5 years. And part of what I think you're saying is, zoop, that angle goes way up last year. So even though people anticipated, yes, there will be less powerful changes because of inflation, people just did not anticipate the shape of that curve.
And had no reason to anticipate it. We didn't know there was going to be a pandemic. We didn't know there was going to be a war between Russia and Ukraine. I mean, a lot of the things that have been driving inflation were wholly unforeseen at the time. And inflation had been steady at around 2% for several decades. So I think it was a totally reasonable set of assumptions. But as you say, those assumptions did not pan out.
Yeah. And Walter Wuthman, do you know, is it typical when states do this, right? Because as you pointed out, 30 states in Washington, D.C. do have minimum wages higher than the federal minimum wage. Is it typical to roll something like that out over a number of years, or is BAM the way, or is there no discernible pattern there?
I don't think there's a discernible pattern. Different states do it different ways. Something that Massachusetts did that So some other states did what Massachusetts did, where they set a target, but then they said, I think California did this, after this target, it's going to be indexed to inflation. So there's going to be some sort of automatic equation, which then recalculates how the minimum wage gets raised. Part of the problem advocates would say in Massachusetts is, okay, we set that great target of $15, but now we're stuck here.
It's true. Washington does this also, and it makes good sense to have an index to inflation. Having said that, I think advocates are a little torn about whether they want to do this because this is a good fight for advocates, right?
I don't understand.
If you index to inflation, then the minimum wage gets increased every year automatically, and you don't have to fight for it. But it's a winning argument. Let's help working people. Let's raise the minimum wage. So a lot of advocates like this argument. They like this fight. They like to say every few years, you know what, we can mobilize based on the need to raise the minimum wage, and we can pair it with other things we need, like when the grand bargain happened. It wasn't just an increase in the minimum wage. It was paired with paid family leave, paid medical family leave in Massachusetts. And so this is a strong kind of bargaining tool for advocates. So there's a reason, I think, that people were skeptical about indexing the minimum wage. It would take away this, you know, fight that you know you're going to have every 3 to 5 years.
So I want to pick up on that with Walt. But before I do, just briefly to explain for listeners who may not understand, when we say indexing to inflation, for example, Evan, we mean if inflation goes up 3% the next year, then that minimum wage also goes up another 3%, roughly, or whatever that
index exactly that.
And,
is. You know, so for people who, for instance, are collecting Social Security, you'll notice that your checks are going to go up a lot right now, this month, because they are inflation adjusted. And so your Social Security benefits are going to go up 7-8% right now, automatically, no fighting for that. You can do the same thing with the minimum wage. We just don't in Massachusetts.
We just don't in Massachusetts. And, well, like you said, they do in some other states like California.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Now, Walter Withman, WBUR reporter, now we have a moment where Evan has laid out there's some political attractiveness to fighting the good fight, especially because it allows one to potentially leverage other policies and get a bill package. We are also now in a situation where we've just hit $15 an hour here in the Commonwealth. And yet, as Evan pointed out, because of the steep incline in inflation last year, the buying power is actually less for workers than it was. So are we seeing people gear up for another legislative package here?
Yeah, so I went back and talked to a lot of the people involved in the Raise Up Massachusetts Coalition who was so involved in that 2018 grand bargain. And they're sort of, reassembling right now. They were also just part of the Fair Share Amendment, the so-called millionaire's tax, which
Question
passed.
Question one, which passed.
Yeah. Yep. So they're figuring out kind of what they want to do next. Here's Chrissy Lynch. She's the chief of staff and secretary treasurer for the Massachusetts AFL-CIO.
I think something we've definitely probably learned here in Massachusetts is just tying it to a number ends up falling short. You know, by the time we reach that number, it needs to be raised again.
So I think generally among the people I spoke to, it seems that there is more of an appetite now to setting up like an indexing mechanism so that they don't have to come back every 5 years and fight the good fight,
and
as you put it.
Have you heard from advocates about whether they anticipate that the new moment we're in here in the Commonwealth, where we have an all Democratic governor's office and state legislature, not all, but dominated by, would change the ability to get something like that done?
I think there's a little less pressure now than there was in 2018. Governor Maura Healey has spoken with general positivity about raising the minimum wage. Governor Baker was a lot more skeptical. So I think they feel they kind of have time to explore, to analyze, and to really figure out what they want to do before they put something on the floor.
So, Evan Horowitz, time to explore and analyze, not a lot of pressure, except that you just said that for the average person, their buying power is less than it was last year, even the average minimum wage
earner.
Yeah,
so that's for the minimum wage. So the other side of this, a couple of stories worth telling. But the one other side of this, the many-faceted thing, is that other average wages are also going up a lot. So, you know, the minimum wage, there are people who make the minimum wage, obviously, but we also care about things like the median wage. And wages have been going up pretty fast. In fact, too fast, according to the Federal Reserve, right? So there's a whole other side of this, which is a kind of cautionary tale about how fast wages can go up and what kind of systematic pushback there will be from the economic powers that be in D.C. One of the stories, a kind of cautionary story of the last few years, is that the federal government pumped a lot of money into the economy, including money into people's pockets through stimulus checks. This drove the inflation, which then ate away the value of that money. And there is always this risk that when you push for increased minimum wage, what it ends up doing is pushing up inflation and then eating away some, if not usually not all, some of those benefits. So there was also a cautionary tale in the last year about how much you can really do by building this wage floor. It is effective, but it may be not as effective as people had hoped.
And Walter Withman, in the last 30 seconds or so, there's another piece of this conversation, which is, should adults in the United States be in a position where they are trying to support themselves and a family on a living wage job? Have we heard any more conversation about adult basic education, community college education, et cetera, to keep people out of having to try to support, for example, two children on a minimum wage salary?
Yeah, these are all progressive priorities, and I think advocates see a real moment with a new Democratic governor. I think it's possible some of these things get tied together in a new grand bargain. It's a little unclear now just how that is going to happen. But Raise Up Massachusetts say they are really committed to raising the minimum wage again. You know, they're not content with the $15 an hour. Some platform will be put on the floor. It just remains to be seen what exactly it is.
What and when. All right. Walter Withman is a reporter here at WBUR. Evan Horowitz is his executive director at the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts. Thanks for both coming to talk about the minimum wage.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Thank you.